You just spent the summer trying to keep your plants alive through the drought. Now it's time to think about how to keep your plants alive through the winter. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day. Horticulturist Richard Duran of Iowa State University Extension will be here, along with Aaron Stile, Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens. We'll talk about what you should be doing right now to protect your plants from the cold to come and what you can do to prevent critter damage when it does get cold and snowy. Richard and Aaron will also be answering your questions. Join our conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and we're going to talk about how to protect our plants through the winter to come. It's hard to think about winter after this incredibly hot summer and lovely fall that we've had, but it is coming. Horticulturist Richard Duran of Iowa State University Extension is here. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
And Aaron Stile is here today, Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens. Hello, Aaron.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
And let's start out by talking about what we need to do to get our plants ready for winter. And Richard, I think the question that comes up most often on the show this time of year is, how do I protect my roses?
Yeah.
Well, if you have a hybrid tea or a modern type rose, you basically want to cover them with some soil. So go out to the vegetable garden or the flower garden and take some soil and basically cover the bottom 8 to 12 inches of the canes with soil. And soil is a very good insulator, and it should protect them over the winter.
Okay, and of course, if you go to the garden center, you see the rose cones, you see all kinds of things that are
right.
That people are selling you to protect your roses. What do you think about those?
Well, the rose cones are very easy, very convenient, but they're not actually very effective. So we would probably suggest not using those. You have to prune the roses back, too, if you want to use those. So we would typically suggest the soil. The soil is a very good insulator. And if you cover the bottom 8 to 12 inches, that should work very, very nicely.
Well, I also know a lot of people want to use leaves, something that we have so many of right now. They want to rake up the leaves and use those on their rose bushes. Does that work?
Well, you could put some leaves on top of your soil if you want to. So you could add your soil and then maybe add some leaves or maybe some straw. That would be fine. But as a lone device, the leaves don't do a very good job because they tend to mat down. And so you start out with this nice thick layer of leaves, and then by spring they're basically matted down, so they really don't provide much protection. So by themselves, the leaves are not very good protection.
And what do you do with the soil in the spring?
You simply remove it and put it back in the garden.
Okay. And Aaron, anything you want to add on rose protection?
It's something that we do a lot of at Ryman Gardens. We have a lot of roses. And what Richard described is exactly what we do, just on a larger scale. And we often do use both soil, about 8 to 12 inches of soil, and put straw on top of that to about 2 or 3 feet. The other thing we always make sure we do is rake back the mulch before we put the soil down. It just makes life a little easier.
And how do you keep the straw from blowing away if it's that's pretty thick?
It is. Often what the hort staff does is all of our roses are planted in raised beds. We'll put a chicken wire fence around the outside of that bed and just fill the whole thing in.
Okay.
And as far as timing, we typically want to do that in central Iowa, typically around mid to late November. Mm-hmm. You want some cold weather where you have temperatures in the 40s during the day, 20s at night, and that kind of hardens off the plants so they're ready for winter. So you wouldn't want to do this, for example, in early October, but typically mid to late November in central Iowa.
Oh, do you need to, if it doesn't get that chilly, do you need to wait?
You would. You'd like it to harden off. So if we're having a really nice fall, it's very mild in October, early November, put it off as long as you can so they do have a chance to harden off.
Are there other perennial plants in the landscape we need to be thinking about right now, too?
One possibility would be the mums, our garden mums. Most perennials, if they're well-established, are perfectly winter-hardy. The garden mum is kind of iffy sometimes. It has a shallow fibrous root system. And if we don't have much snow cover and we have a lot of freezing and thawing, that can heave the mums out of the ground. So we typically suggest going out in, again, probably mid to late November and not cutting them back, but just leaving them that, as they are, and then covering them with straw or pine needles, something that stays loose and airy, and leaving them covered typically until about early April. Again, leaves would not be very good in this case in that they tend to mat down, and they may actually serve to kind of smother the plant. So don't use the leaves per se.
Sounds like you're telling me not to use leaves anywhere, Richard.
Well, you can use them. For example, you can compost them. Okay. You could apply, what you could do is shred some leaves and apply those to the garden and actually incorporate those into the soil. That'd be great. So you can definitely use them, but they're just not a very good protective device.
Okay.
Right. Right.
They're just so gosh darn convenient, though. They're right there.
You know, actually, I don't even rake my leaves anymore. I tend to mulch them with my mower and just leave them in the turf. They add organic matter to my lawn that way then.
And it's much easier, less work. Right. All right. Well, how about in the garden? We talked briefly last week about strawberries, but give us the short course in strawberries.
Well, with basically strawberries, again, you want to cover those so that the cold temperatures don't destroy the flower buds. The flower buds actually are there for the June-bearing strawberries right now. And if we don't cover them and we have no snow cover and we get extremely cold temperatures, those temperatures can damage or destroy the flower buds. So we want to cover them. Typically use, again, something straw or pine needles. You could also use chopped corn stalks would work too. Put on maybe 4 or 5 inches. Now, if you happen to be in a windy, open site and you have a home garden, when you're done covering with straw, it does tend to blow away. So you could cover that with some fencing, like some wire fencing or plastic fencing, and then put some bricks or something on it so that it doesn't blow away. But you want to do that, again, typically mid to late November.
The critters, of course, will be coming as it gets colder and it gets snowy and they get hungry. What should we be thinking about right now to make sure that we can protect our plants from deer and bunnies?
You know, this time of year, the garden staff up at Ryman Gardens here at Iowa State spend a lot of time working on this because we have a huge population of rabbits, and I always joke that they're the tame campus rabbits. So they're not afraid of people or anything, and so they can cause a lot of damage for us in the winter. And often what we do, we spend about 2 weeks going around the gardens. Young trees, those that have been planted in the last probably 3 or less years, we will wrap the trunks of those trees with tree wrap, some kind of plastic tree wrap to prevent the rabbits from chewing the bark off of the trees when they get desperate in the middle of winter. We also spend a lot of time caging off shrubs that we know are particularly susceptible to rabbit gnawing in the winter months. And basically all we do is we put up some re-rod and some chicken wire fencing and surround it. Now, occasionally we'll have a winter where we have a lot of snow and then the snow piles up and the rabbits just hop over the fence, and that's an unfortunate year. But most years, especially if our winter was anything like last winter, that can be very effective.
And I can't imagine you have a lot of deer problems at Ryman Gardens.
We don't have a lot of deer problems, though. I do know a lot of other people do, too.
Sure. So what is there anything, Richard, that we can do about deer at this time of year?
Basically, it's fencing, but much taller fencing, so they can't reach the plants. They go after certain plants, especially things like arborvitae, because the other trees are basically bare. There's not much food there, but you have these arborvitae. They stick above the snow. They have that nice, soft, green, lush growth. And oftentimes you'll see arborvitae where they've been pruned on the bottom several feet by the deer. So the best way to prevent that is by basically fencing.
Okay. So I have some baby arborvitae this year. That's something I definitely need to be thinking about for this
I definitely would think so, yes.
You know, the rabbits like arborvitae too, so you got to be careful with that too, especially the young ones. They can cause a lot of damage. One of the challenges with evergreens is when they prune that stuff off, it doesn't grow back if at all, very quickly. So you can have some real lasting damage if you're not careful.
Okay. With the very dry summer that we had, are you guys concerned, more concerned about the vulnerability of our plants and shrubs this winter as opposed to other winters?
Well, actually, we've had some, I think, some fairly good rains in October and so far in November, and they've been very, very beneficial. We still need more, but it's been beneficial. Most plants have their roots in the upper 12 inches of soil. So if you dig down, there's some moisture there, and I'm thinking most trees, most shrubs, most evergreens, most perennials, they've been able to absorb some water so that I think going into winter, they're in fairly good shape. If it happens to rain this weekend, that would be great too. So I think they're actually in better shape than if it stayed dry in October and November. If it was dry the last 2 months, I think we would see a lot of damage potentially.
Okay. Aaron, as I mentioned earlier, you are Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens. And, of course, you have visitors throughout the year. Do you have anything coming up that's special?
Well, we have several things coming up. You know, the holidays is a really great time to visit the gardens. We have a lot of displays there that are themed around the holidays. This year, we're putting in a big display in our conservatory that is inspired by Santa's workshop. And so there'll actually be a model of Santa's workshop, but we've decided that Santa is green. And so he has like a green roof, and he uses geothermal energy and some of that stuff too. So we're able to talk about some of those sustainable things that you can do in your home and garden. But it should be a lot of fun. The workshop's going to, like I said, have a green roof. It's going to have poinsettia walls. It's going to be a good time.
Oh, that sounds very cool. When will that all be up and open?
It should be up by Thanksgiving, the week of Thanksgiving.
Okay. And, of course, Ryman Gardens in Ames is a wonderful place to go also when you go stir crazy during the winter.
Yes.
And you need green and warmth.
Yes. We have the butterfly wing as well. And it just it's a wonderful place to be in the middle of winter with tropical butterflies and 80 degrees with 80% humidity.
All right. Aaron Stile is Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens. Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture. And, of course, they're here today also to answer your questions. You can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. If you have some specific questions about getting your plants ready for the winter, give us a call. If you're wondering if it's absolutely too late to plant those bulbs, give us a call. If you have any questions about the plants and trees in your life, join us today. The number again is 866-780-9100. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, horticulturist Richard Duran of Iowa State University Extension. Aaron Stile is also here with us today, Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens, and you're welcome to join our conversation with your questions. The number to call is 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, and the phones are lighting up, so let's start with Jim in Iowa City. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you? What's your question?
I have a question. With this nice weather, my three burning bushes, which are gigantic and need to start over if possible, and I'm wondering if this would be a good time to trim them off and get them mulched up and ready for fall.
I would actually prune those back in March, early April, before they leaf out.
Okay.
And you could cut them back by, let's say, maybe one-third as far as the overall size, but do some thinning, removing certain branches. Don't just give it a haircut, but do some thinning. Remove some branches completely back to the ground, other branches maybe back to the main branch, that type of thing.
Okay.
And cut it back by a third or so. And that will give you a nice plant And if you need to, you can do some more pruning the following year.
Great. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Jim. And next up, we're going to go to Mackie in Stone City. And Mackie, this is a very difficult question, so go ahead and give it a shot.
Well, thanks for taking my call. Hey, what I was wondering is houseplants, and how do you keep the kitty cats out of the houseplants? They like to lay on the soil in the plants and kind of eventually just take the plant out.
So I don't know if that falls under your expertise, Richard, or yours, Aaron, but...
I have never owned a cat, so I can't really answer that one.
We have a couple extra if you need one.
I know at home I do occasionally have issues with my cats getting in the plants, and unfortunately it's more of an animal question. It's probably better for a vet because it's a behavioral thing more than anything. And so I know for me at home I have to I have done the thing where you squirt them with a little bit of water when you see them doing what you don't like. But if you're not at home and they do that kind of stuff, it makes it more difficult. So I don't know if I can answer your question because it's more of an animal behavior
right.
question,
well,
probably.
And one of the things, Mackie, that I've had suggested to me is put aluminum foil over the soil, and then you can pick it up when you need to water the plant, and that seems to at least...
Oh, and they don't like sitting on the foil.
Right, reduce the digging problem. But I have pared down my houseplant collection. I have one houseplant now, so that's another way to deal with cat issues. It's up really high. So good luck with that, Mackie. Next up, let's go to Jeanette on the line in Grimes. Hi, Jeanette.
Hello. I have a question. My husband and I just finished building a house, and we were wondering if we should lay sod still yet this fall or wait till spring.
Well, you could still do it. It's not impossible, but, you know, don't rush things. If you're not ready to do it, I'd probably put it off till spring. But if you're ready and if you can get some sod, I would try to do it before Thanksgiving.
Okay, and if we do have it laid, how do we take care of it?
Basically, what I would do is keep the sod moist until the ground freezes. So go out there, water it fairly frequently, keep the sod itself moist and the upper 1 or 2 inches of soil below that moist, and keep on doing that until the ground freezes. Now, if it's not frozen in December, keep on watering it, because if it's not frozen, it still needs some moisture. Once the actual ground freezes, then you can basically put it off until spring as far as watering.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Jeanette. And next up, let's go to Bob on the line in Muscatine. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I have 3 pear trees, and one of them sits in my irrigation system, and the other 2 are further out in my yard. And the 2 that are further out have clumps of brown leaves on them that haven't fallen off. And I'm wondering if there's some disease or... spraying, or I did water quite a bit, but not, of course, as much as the irrigation got.
Okay. Well, pears tend to drop their leaves fairly late, especially the ornamental pears. If the ground near those trees is very dry, I would go ahead and water them maybe this weekend, make sure they have some moisture. So if the ground is dry, I'd go ahead and water. My concern is maybe... some of those branches may have died. When a branch typically dies, it tends not to drop its leaves very, very well. So my concern is maybe there are some dead branches in those pears. Hopefully not.
Well, the trees are pretty full and could probably use to be thinned anyway. So maybe in the spring, if they're dead, I'll just thin them out.
Well, if they don't leaf out in the spring, just prune out the dead branches. Hopefully you're not going to have much of that, but... they should be dropping their leaves soon, and if they don't, that's my concern, that maybe some branches have died.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, and you can join our conversation at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa at iowapublicradio.org. We have a Twitter question from Kayla. She says, I have a north-facing window, and I want to keep my kale plant alive. Should I get a supplementary light lamp for it?
I think you would have to. It's more of an outdoor plant, and if you were to bring it inside, I think you'd have to have some type of artificial lighting, like a fluorescent light fixture, some type of artificial lighting.
You know, a lot of people are really deceived by the amount of light that comes through a window, but if you were to measure it with some kind of instrument, the light, even in a bright window, the light inside compared to the light outside is incredibly different. And so this outdoor plant is really going to want more light than it can probably get, especially this time of year.
How long do you think you could keep a kale plant alive inside?
Well, if you gave it sufficient light, I think you could all winter long. Mm-hmm. So that would be the key, though, where you provide sufficient light. The light source should be close to the plant. I would have it on for maybe 10 or 12 hours per day. And if you did that, it should be able to survive.
Okay. Here's an email question from Leonard in Ames. He has actually two questions about roses. And the first one is, do you need to trim the canes back before covering?
We typically would suggest not to, because we anticipate there will be some dieback in winter, and so we're going to prune out that next spring early. So unless you're using a rose cone, we would not prune them back. Now, if they're very, very tall and they kind of flop around in the wind, what you could do is maybe take some twine and kind of tie them up a little bit so they don't flop as much in the wintertime, and then cover them with soil.
Okay, and his second question is not about roses. I have scab on three of my apple trees. Is there any treatment I should do this fall?
Apple scab is a fungal disease that affects the foliage, and the infection basically occurs in the spring when the foliage is emerging. You could use a fungicide at that point. You'd probably have to spray maybe, I would guess, at least two or three times during that spring, basically from bud break until about probably mid-June or so. That's typically when the infections occur. And if you did that, you could prevent it. But I guess the other question, the other point would be, as far as apple scab is not fatal. It's not lethal. It will cause spotting of the foliage, leaf drop on certain varieties. And on some varieties, if we have a wet spring, it can be quite severe, but it typically doesn't kill them. So you don't have to spray. And if you're buying a crabapple or apple, I would possibly look into purchasing a variety that's apple scab resistant.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones now. And our next caller is Randy on the line in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Randy.
Hi. I've got a question. Every year I buy 25 or 30 bags of mulch and spread it around in my yard. And I rake up all these leaves and haul them out to the street. And if I use leaves for mulch, given that they do compact and don't have a lot of protection, is there a disease problem or an insect problem if I use my leaves for mulch?
Yeah, typically no. There isn't any type of pest problem related to those. And if I was going to use them as a mulch, what I would do, I would shred them first or chop them up. And they really work nicely as a mulch. For example, in raspberries between the rows, you could use that around trees and shrubs possibly. It makes a nice mulch next year in your flower bed, like your annual flower bed, in your vegetable garden, where they do the job, but they break down fairly quickly. So by the end of summer, they're kind of gone, but they've done their job. And what remains, you can work into the soil in the fall of the year.
Yeah, we use mulch at the gardens and all of leaf mulch in all of our annual beds because of that, what Richard just said. It's wonderful mulch.
Uh-huh.
And when you think about it, nature's been doing this for years. I mean, you walk out in the forest and what's on the ground? Leaf mulch. So it works well.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Randy, thanks a lot for your call. And next up we'll go to Don on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Don.
Good morning. I live out in a wooded area by the Coralville Reservoir, and with the oak leaves falling recently, I noticed that the red oak leaves, within an area of maybe a 50-foot diameter, 50-foot radius, the red oak leaves are just covered with what look like warts. Wondered if that's anything I need to be concerned with.
Those are galls, and galls are basically abnormal growths. They're caused by a small insect or mite. The insect or mite injects a chemical into the plant tissue as it's developing in the spring. And in response to that, you have this abnormal growth. And oftentimes what the insect or mite is doing is they're laying an egg in that tissue. Mm-hmm. And so when it develops, then that egg has protection. It's in that little gall.
Mm-hmm.
And galls are very, very, very common on oaks. There are various types of galls caused by various insects. They vary from very, very small to as big as a ping pong ball. They can be found on the foliage. They can be found on the branches. So they're very, very common.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom line, though, is that the galls cause very little damage to a healthy tree.
Oh, that's good.
And so we typically kind of ignore them. They're just very, very common. In fact, there are certain galls that are so common, you can use them to identify the actual tree or shrub.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Can I follow up with another question? I noticed that underneath the leaves, there were maybe tens of thousands of a really bright orange short larva, maybe an eighth of an inch long. Could that at all be related?
I can't describe it anymore. Yeah.
No.
I'm not sure. I would guess probably not, maybe a different insect.
Okay.
Now, if you have a digital camera and can take some nice, clear photographs, you can send those to Iowa State.
Oh, good.
And send those specifically to insects, which is plural.
Sure.
INSECTS at iastate.edu.
Oh, wonderful.
And the entomologist here at Iowa State, I'm sure, can identify it.
Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you so much for your call.
You bet. Bye.
Bye-bye. And next up, we'll go to Dick way up north in Norris Springs. Hi, Dick.
Well, good morning. I really enjoy your show.
Oh, thanks.
I have two questions. You talked about the roses, which I was really interested in for getting them ready for the winter time. Does it make a difference what kind of a rose we're talking about? We have a knockout rose, and we wonder if that makes any difference, or do we treat it just like you suggested?
Well, there are different types of roses, definitely. If you have a hardy shrub-type rose, they're perfectly hardy. They need no protection. If you have a modern rose like a hybrid TR Floribunda or a Grandiflora, they typically do need protection. The knockout rose is a modern rose. I think it's more hardy than most, but I would still give it some protection. Maybe not as much, maybe 6, 7, 8 inches of soil around the base, just to make sure.
And not have to worry about the straw?
Right. Right.
Okay. And the other thing, about a month ago, I put out a burning bush. And at the time, I should be doing that this fall or whether I should have waited until spring. But anyway, it's in the ground. Do I winterize it like you would a rose?
Well, what I would do with the euonymus or burning bush is the rabbits are very, very fond of that plant. They love that plant. And being a small plant, I'm assuming, very, very in reach to them. And so what I would do is put some chicken wire fencing or hardware cloth around them so they don't have access to the plant and keep the ground moist until the ground freezes.
Okay. Do I need to cover it with straw at all?
Not at all. No, perfectly hardy as far as winter hardy. Not a problem.
Oh, how about the dirt at the bottom? I don't have to do that either?
Nope. Not at
all.
No.
Okay.
Just make sure the rabbits aren't able to reach it because they can actually destroy that plant very, very quickly. They love burning bush.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Delicious.
Very good.
All right, Dick.
Great show. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right, let's see if we can slip one more question in here before the break. Margaret on the line from Indianola. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. I just wondered if it was too late to plant perennials. I know it's awfully late. I just haven't gotten it done. And also rhododendrons, do they deserve special treatment?
Well, these perennials, are they in a pot?
Yeah.
Okay. You have two options. One is to go ahead and plant them immediately, if you can. And the second option would be to simply overwinter them in pots in the ground, where you dig a trench, set the pots in the ground, place soil back around the pots, and in most cases, they'll survive quite well in those pots. So you can either plant those or simply overwinter those in the pots in the ground. In both cases, I would go out maybe in late November and cover them with a few inches of straw so they have some protection.
Okay. And the rhododendron?
The rhododendrons, if they're true rhododendrons and they retain their foliage in winter, go out and check the soil. And if the soil is dry, go ahead and water, because they need a chance to absorb water before the ground freezes. So if the ground is dry, go ahead and water. Beyond that, there's not much you can do.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, Margaret, thanks a lot for your call. And we've got several phone lines open now for your call. We'll get to them after the break. Give us a call at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And from our house cat question earlier, we got a little bit of advice from Daryl. He says, on the subject of cats and houseplants, we have some luck putting pine cones from our white pines on top of the soil. Our cats don't dig, so it's only a matter of them laying in the pots. I also have a friend who put wine corks all over the soil in her houseplants. So I think we'll get a little pet advice in here today as well. My guests are Richard Duran of Iowa State University Extension and Aaron Style, Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens. We'll get back to answering your plant questions in just a moment. Again, the number to call is 866-780-9100. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and with me, Aaron Style, Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens, and horticulturist Richard Duran of Iowa State University Extension. They're both here to answer your questions at 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Let's get through a couple of email questions here. This is from Tammy. She says, I planted some hydrangea bushes this fall, an oak leaf snowflake, and a great star. Since they're not established, should I do anything special to protect them for the winter? Should the bloom heads be pruned, and when?
Well, as far as the bloom heads, you can leave those. They might add some winter interest. As far as protection, I suppose you could put maybe some chicken wire fencing around the plants, and maybe fill that with some straw so they have a little bit of protection. But beyond that, there's probably not much you could do.
Yeah, make sure they're well watered before the ground freezes.
All right. Another email question. This is from Trent in Winterset. He says, my strawberry bed did very poorly this summer and is filled with a lot of weeds. Should I just round up the whole bed and start over in the spring?
Well, I think what I'd probably do, if it's a June-bearing strawberry, I would leave it and get what I can as far as a crop next year. And then as soon as it's done, then I would destroy it. What they can do is also maybe prepare a new site for strawberry planting this fall yet before the ground freezes, and then plant that early next spring, because you typically don't want to plant in the same area if you destroy the old planting. So I would keep this bed, get what you can next June, and maybe try to get a new site ready for next spring, this fall.
He also wonders if you can recommend a good breed of everbearing.
Everbearing. Well, we have the Day Neutral, which are kind of considered new, improved type of everbearing. And with those, we have either Tribute or TriStar. If you're thinking of the old standard everbearing strawberry, then possibly Fort Laramie or Ogallala.
Okay, let's get back to the phones, and next up is John on the line in Davenport. Hi, John.
Hello. Did you see in Davenport?
Yep, that's you.
Okay.
What's your question?
Well, I had a comment, and it's more information about cats and plants.
Oh, okay.
I used to be a great fan of Thalassa Caruso's. She wrote about potting for in the house. I think I got this idea from her, but I don't remember for sure. But what I do is I put a little chipotle red pepper powder on the soil, and the cats don't seem to like that.
Okay. Good advice, John. Thanks so much for calling.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, let's go to Dave on the line in Muscatine. Hi, Dave.
Hi. When we moved to our house in Muscatine 33 years ago, in the circle, we have a very large hydrangea plant that when the foliage will grow up to about 4 feet high, abundant flower, abundant green growth on it, but we've hardly ever had any flowers on it. Now, I've tried to protect it with packing up snow around it 1 year, and we did get some leaves or some flowers on that portion of it. Is there any advice on how we might get better flowers on this hydrangea?
What color flowers do you have on that plant? Are they white, pink, or blue?
White.
White. The white flowering hydrangeas are typically quite hardy, and they typically don't need winter protection. The blue and pink flowering hydrangeas tend to be a little bit more sensitive to the cold, and oftentimes they may suffer quite a bit of winter injury, and if they do, many of those do not bloom very well. But if they're white blooming, I would think they really don't need much in the way of protection. Maybe you have a plant that's kind of basically a dud, so to speak, that simply does not bloom very well. But if you plant something like a PG hydrangea or a grandiflora, they should bloom very, very well because they're very hardy and they will bloom on new growth. So if this plant has not bloomed well for many, many years, I would be inclined maybe to remove it and replace it with something else.
Okay, because the canes seem to seem to dry up and completely. Now, last winter being a very mild winter, we started to get new growth coming out of the cane, what looked like dried up canes, until we hit that frost.
Okay.
The surprise frost. And then all those buds died, and everything came out of the ground. Nothing came out of the canes.
It kind of sounds like to me that you have some type of hydrangea that does bloom on second-year wood but is not hardy, and so you never get second-year wood and you never get very good flower set because of that. And I think with that in mind, Richard's suggestion is probably pretty good, because you could battle this thing every year and you could do all of this work, or you could go out. There's a lot of really great new hydrangeas out there now that do very well this far north, and try to find one that blooms on new wood or on first year growth, and you'll probably be a lot happier with the result.
Okay, now this is out in full exposure to the sun. Is that good or bad for the hydrangea?
It depends upon the species. If you plant the grandiflora, Hydrangea paniculata grandiflora, the PG hydrangea, that prefers basically partial to full sun. If you plant the Annabelle hydrangea, that prefers partial shade. Both have white flowers. They're both quite winter hardy. If you want to plant one of the pink or blue flowering hydrangeas, then Endless Summer is a newer variety. It's quite hardy, and that would be a good choice.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Enjoy the program.
All right, thanks a lot for your call. And next up, we're going to go to John on the line in Iowa City. Hi, John.
Good morning, Charity.
What's your question?
Well, I have two questions. One, I'd like some tips on how to bed in my rhubarb. I planted some new rhubarb plants last year, and I want to bed them in and get them so they'll make it through the wintertime. And the other would be how to bed in or prune butterfly bushes so they'll be ready to go for winter. Thank you.
All right.
Well, as far as the rhubarb should be fine. You shouldn't have to do much of anything. I would just clean up the dead debris at some point, either late this fall, early next spring. As far as the butterfly bush, the butterfly bush actually is a woody plant, but in Iowa typically dies back to near ground level each winter. Last winter it didn't because I had a very mild winter, but typically it does, And so I wouldn't do anything until next spring, at which point I would go out and look for signs of growth, and then at that point remove all the dead wood.
All right. Thanks so much for your call, John. Good luck with that. And next up we'll go to Patrick in Davenport.
Hello. I have a question regarding hardy mums.
Okay.
I picked up some that were on sale here 3 weeks ago. They had a 7-inch root ball, and I broke up the balls and put them in enhanced soil, and it's a well-drained area on the north side. And I'm wondering if watering it every day is going to give me any likelihood of these plants surviving the winter.
Well, I probably wouldn't water every day, but I would be concerned about their survival, because when you plant garden mums in the ground in late summer or fall, almost invariably they winter kill, despite what you may do, because they just don't have time to get it reestablished before winter, and they just don't do very well. So that would be my big concern. They may not survive the winter no matter what you do, but what I would suggest doing is going out there and maybe putting some chicken wire fencing or whatever around them, and then covering them with several inches of straw or pine needles so that they're not exposed to the extreme cold, so they don't experience frequent freezing and thawing, which may heave them out of the ground, and then cross your fingers and hope for the best. And if they don't survive, I wouldn't be terribly disappointed, because that's a distinct possibility.
All right, Patrick, thanks a lot for your call. We've got a bunch of email questions we're going to try to get through here. And the next one is from Randall. And I think I know your answer to this one, Richard. But Randall asks, do any of the spray repellents deter rabbit or deer damage?
I would say sometimes they do work.
Okay.
But they don't always work. So the results are kind of hard to predict.
And do you find that the colder it is, the less they work?
That I'm not sure about, but it's just the fact that the rabbits and the deer that we see in urban situations, they're pretty darn smart.
Mm-hmm.
And usually they figure it out pretty quickly. And so you may get some initial hesitation as far as them eating something, but once they figure it out, they're going to totally ignore it. So the results tend to be very, very erratic.
Okay. I would probably never use that as my sole source of protection from rabbit or deer. I might use it in conjunction with something else, but, you know, it's a lot of work, but the most effective way to prevent rabbit and deer damage is to exclude them from the plants using fencing or tree wrap or something like that. And you could use it in conjunction with that and have hopefully more success, but especially if it's a wet winter, that stuff washes off, and it's a lot more work than it's probably worth in terms of its effectiveness.
All right. This question is from Marlene. She says, my knockout rose bush has grown to about 4 feet by 4 feet, and it's too big for the spot where it's planted. Can I cut it back about 12 to 15 inches without hurting it? And when could I do that?
I would cut it back next spring. And the first thing I would do would be to cut out the dead wood. But if we have a mild winter and there's not much dead wood in the plant, I would simply cut it back to within maybe 6 or 12 inches of the ground.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people had big knockout roses this year because we had such a mild winter last year. There was not a lot of winter kill.
Yeah. Here's a question from Deb in Des Moines. She says, we planted 2 new young cherry trees in our backyard this spring. How do we protect them this winter?
Rabbits would be the biggest concern. And again, either a wrap or either hardware cloth around the trunk so they can't reach it.
All right. It's hard to think about trees being vulnerable to rabbits, but
oh, they are. They're especially newly planted, and especially those cherry trees and other fruit trees. They just love those things.
Right.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Mike on the line from Fairfield. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Yeah, I was wondering what's killing all the spruce trees in the state.
All right. What disease is killing spruce trees in the state, Richard?
Well, I think there's a number of things going on. Some of the plants have been affected by the weather over the last 4 or 5 years. The weather has been very erratic. We've seen very extremes where we had very wet weather in 2009, 2010, and then we had this very, very dry year this past year, And so those very harsh weather conditions are causing, I think, some root damage on some of the plants. So we're seeing some environmental damage. As far as if it's a Colorado spruce, they may be seeing rhizosphere needle cast, which is a very common foliar disease that causes the leaves to drop prematurely. And typically what you see is lower branches become kind of sparse. They have fewer needles. And then eventually they die. And this works then up the tree so that eventually the tree basically is not very attractive and not very useful. And eventually you may have to get rid of it. So it could be rhizosphere needle cast also. Okay.
All right, Mike, thanks a lot for your call. Vicki is on the line next from Ames. Hi, Vicki.
Hi. I have a couple questions. I was wondering, is it too late to plant bulbs?
Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Okay, then
I'll do that. As long as you can get a shovel in the ground, you can put them in the ground.
Okay. And my second question is, what should I do with my raspberries? Should I trim them back? Can I put manure on them? What should I do to get them through the winter good?
What type are they? As far as, well, are they summer-bearing red, fall-bearing red, purple, black?
They must be summer-bearing red.
Okay. You really don't have to do anything. My only concern would be rabbits again, because if they're summer-bearing, they're going to produce fruit on this year's growth. And if the rabbits decimate that growth, they won't bloom much. I mean, they won't bear much next year. So my only concern is maybe if rabbits are a problem, maybe putting chicken wire fencing around them so they don't bother the canes. Otherwise, okay, they should be perfectly fine.
Okay, can I put manure on them or anything like that? Will that help them any? Or?
If you want to do that, I'd probably do that early next spring.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, well, that sounds pretty good. And as far as trimming them back, should I do any of that or just?
None of that this fall at all. Next spring, you would go out there like in late March, early April, and you would do some thinning. You can take out the really small spindly canes because they're not going to produce well anyway. And then if there's any dead wood, prune out the dead wood. And that's basically it.
All right, Vicki, thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Helen in Ames. Hi, Helen. Helen, are you there? Oh, Helen seems to be away from the phone. Helen, are you there? Quickly.
I'm here.
Okay, can you ask your question quickly, please?
Yes. Can you plant tomatoes in the same place every year? And can you reuse potting soil after you use it 1 year?
Well, you can plant tomatoes in the same spot, but if you do so, you run the risk of increasingly severe disease problems. So it's not a good idea. We typically suggest rotating and leaving a 3-year spacing between tomatoes as far as plantings. So that would be our suggestion.
Okay, and let's see if, I think we're out of time. I was going to try to slip one more in there, but sorry, Gene, we've run out of time for the day. But Richard Geron, thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome.
Horticulturist Richard Geron of Iowa State University Extension. Aaron Stile, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you.
And again, a lot of exciting holiday things coming up at Ryman Gardens, right?
Absolutely. I hope everybody can come and see it.
All right. Aaron Stile, Education and Visitor Services Coordinator at Ryman Gardens. Talk of Iowa is produced by Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Sarah Bowden. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Production assistance today from Allison Sullivan. Technical support from Jason Burns in Ames. Podcasting and on-demand audio of Talk of Iowa are available at iowapublicradio.org. You can send us email anytime. We love to hear your questions and comments about the show, and we also love your suggestions for things you'd like to hear on the show. Email is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Our theme music was composed and performed by the River Monks. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up Monday on the show, Davy Rothbart on his book, My Heart is an Idiot. This is Talk of Iowa.